night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. You've heard these words every time we have communion in church, when we have it on a monthly basis, or if you've gone to churches where it happens every week, or quarterly, the words are always so similar. It always ends with the Apostle Paul tells us that as often as we eat and we drink, we remember his death, and then usually we say and proclaim his resurrection until Christ returns. So you've heard him. This is my body, this is my blood. Do you ever wonder what the deal is with all of it? Now, Paul is actually saying these words in 1 Corinthians, writing a letter, because people were messing up with things. And he wasn't giving them instructions on how to do communion. It was like, this is what's important, and you keep bickering about all these other things. So we went through something that was important. This, we eat and we drink, and we do this again and again and again until Christ returns. And each part of that invitation to communion, each part of what I may say in welcoming all has a sermon in it. But tonight we're going to preach about just that end part, until Christ returns, with this really scary sermon about that topic that we all may have read about and wonder about, and maybe saw the movies that were really, really kind of not good in terms of acting and stuff like that. You know, the Left Behind series. I've talked about it a little bit before. But we're going to talk about the rapture. Because the subject of Christ's return has been hotly debated by some, and it's also been ignored by many in the church over the years. And tonight's not going to answer the debate questions, because sermons that I do rarely answer the debate questions. But I hope it brings us to a point where the words, until he comes again, or until Christ returns, become words of purpose instead of something we just hear when we're getting ready to have bread and wine together. See, way back when, Jesus' time and then a little after Paul's time, everyone thought that Jesus was going to return really soon. I mean, in the next few years. They would remember when Paul says, you know, do this until Christ returns. They'd remember some words of Jesus that had been going around. They weren't really written down yet, but here's what they are written down. Jesus says, truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until these things have taken place. From Matthew 24:34. And it didn't happen. Jesus didn't come back. And so they had to start thinking, well, what did it really mean? This is a generation longer than the 40 years that we expect a generation to be. And some have now said that, well, this generation really means the human generation. I think that's just trying to make light of something that we can't figure out when Jesus says that. Because, you know, humanity's been around for a long time and will probably continue to be around for a long time. I don't know for sure what this generation means. And I know I say that a lot. I don't know this, I don't know that, because I don't know much. But something that I am reasonably sure about is that it probably means something different than we know right now or have thought we've figured out, because God's really good at revealing stuff later on that we didn't quite get the first time around or the second or the fifth time around. See, over the years, people have predicted dates for Christ's return. You know, back in the time of Paul, it was now, but then it's been 500. Nice round number. Jesus is coming back. 1,000. 1420. 1666. I wonder why. And 1809. 1910. 1949. 1967. And at least 30 have been predicted between 1980 and 2012. So we still have a few more years before the predictions run out. And there's some after that, too. No one knows, ultimately, when Jesus is coming back. But maybe we can ask more about, what is it? We don't know when it's going to be. What is Jesus returning? That's where this rapture term comes in. When Christ returns and all the believers are swept up in the clouds. Matthew 24:34 was when Jesus says, this generation will not pass away. In Matthew 24, a few verses later, it says, then two will be in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, and another will be left. Made the basis for a song called I Wish We'd All Been Ready in the 70s that was featured in the movies Thief in the Night. Anybody see Thief in the Night movies back in the 70s? The song is still, it's actually a pretty good song. It may not have this theological basis that I would agree with, but it's a catchy song, and it's good to sing, I think. There's another verse, though. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 says, "For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever." So rapture actually means caught up, as in caught up in the clouds. And that would be a pretty cool sight, wouldn't it? You know, see all these people flying up to the clouds? It wouldn't be so cool if you were on the ground actually seeing it happen. But it would be much cooler if you were kind of going up there with them. I don't know exactly what the whole caught up in the cloud thing, how it's going to play out. I do believe it's probably going to be different than what we think or what we've interpreted. Because the stuff that we interpret that means this or that, the scriptures are mysterious on that. They're complicated on that. But God's really good at doing things different than we think it's got to be. The people expected a strong and powerful warrior king in Jesus. Instead, God showed power in the weakness of humble beginnings and the weakness of Jesus' death on the cross. So Christ's return will be, I think, dramatic. I think it will be unforgettable. It might be dramatic and unforgettable from this immediate perspective where something huge happens. It might also be dramatic and unforgettable from a historic perspective. Jesus' birth is dramatic and unforgettable from a historic perspective. It went largely unnoticed. We have the stories of the shepherds, and we have the stories of the wise men a little bit later, but largely it went unnoticed. But historically, it's huge. I don't really know how it's going to work. I know I say that a lot, but I say it tonight because when it comes to things like the return of Jesus, rapture, tribulation, the millennium, new heaven, new earth, I don't think that we really understand what is truly coming. We don't really truly understand how exactly it's going to play out. And I know I threw out those words, rapture, tribulation, millennium, new heaven, new earth, as if you completely knew those, and maybe some of you do, and there's more sermons in those, and so just let those sit in your mind as words that you either know about or don't know about now, because there are more subjects that I'm not sure of. And maybe over time we'll preach more of those things. But God's really good at giving us mysteries that we can't figure out completely. And when we do think we figured it out, that wasn't kind of supposed to be that way. So, now that I've confused you, and we've talked about the rapture. When? Don't know. The rapture what? Not really sure. But then there's something important. What do we do to get ready for it? There's something that, we can talk about, and I think we can rely on some of the ways Scripture leads us on that one. I hope. I know that there's a mystery, but Matthew 24:42 says, "Keep awake, therefore, for you don't know on the day your Lord is coming." All right? We don't know, so keep awake. Be ready. The question is, how do you keep awake for something you don't understand? How do you be ready for something that you may never see? Because we don't know when Christ will return. We don't really know how Christ will return, but we know that we can turn to Jesus to be ready. At least that's the direction I'm going. So you can say, don't know, oh, but I know I can turn to Jesus to be ready. Paul's instructions to continue sharing communion until Jesus returns, and other passages from the Bible that I brought up tonight, I don't think they're intended for us to mark our calendars and to stockpile food, and to use scare tactics to get people to follow Jesus. I think they are about putting our belief, about putting our trust, our worries, our happiness, our sadness, our lives into God's hands. So when we remember Jesus' death and resurrection in communion, we can also be at peace in trusting that God has made, God is making, and God will make us ready for what has been, for what is, and for what is to come. Incidentally, you know that part we celebrate communion until Jesus returns? Anne has asked me before, I'm pointing to Anne because she usually sits right there, has asked me before, what do we do when Jesus returns? Do we still have communion? And others have asked me that before too. And my answer is, I don't know, I think we'll get a new set of instructions at that point. You know, Jesus will say, oh, that thing with communion? Yeah, keep doing it. Or, no, we're not going to do that now. Or now we're going to have like peanut butter and jelly because it seems more likely. I don't know what Jesus is going to say then. We'll wait for the instructions and let Jesus do those. I think that we can learn from this passage, we can learn from trying to understand the return of Christ, that it's important that we let God be our guide. Let God be the one who leads us. Know that God has a plan that is far better than anything we could ever come up with. Know that we need to let go of what keeps us trying to run our own lives and say, I can do this better than you, God. And trust that in the messiness, the mystery of what God is revealing, in the danger, maybe the uneasiness of Jesus, that there is hope and there is love and there is an extraordinary adventure. So when will Christ come back? When is it?
Don't know.
What will it be like?
Don't know.
We've guessed, but we don't know. What does it have to do with the Last Supper? We think about Jesus' return every time we celebrate his death and resurrection. And how can we be ready for what's coming next? Well, I think we can put our trust and our hope, we can put our very lives into God's hands. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke the bread, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine and gave thanks. He gave it to them and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And we learn from the Apostle Paul that as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim his death and resurrection until Christ returns. Let's pray. Thank you for the mystery of our faith, O God. Thank you for the trust that we can place in you. Thank you for this celebration meal that we can remember Jesus' death and resurrection. Amen.